My prayer today is that God will use this time to reach you exactly where you are. I struggled with developing a title, probably not an uncommon thing. Sometimes you get something that God lays on your heart and you start to expand on it and want to figure out what it is. How can you draw a conclusion and a title to that? Today I chose to speak about drawing near to the Savior. People have been looking for hope lately, a variety of reasons for a variety of people. Worry, fear, unsure, anxious, tired, very tired, worn thin, hopeless, lonely. In our current times, these are emotions, feelings, or thoughts you, or perhaps some of those you know, have been feeling or experiencing. I know myself, it's certainly difficult not to feel or experience these thoughts. I'm confronted with it daily. Things as we know it in the United States today are in a great unrest. 2020 has been a challenging time, to say the least. Between the financial catastrophe, riots, the fear surrounding COVID-19 and the sickness, the forced closing of businesses, churches, schools, the fear of rights being taken away, the election, the turmoil that that is bringing, a fear of division. And because of these things, people like myself, like yourselves, we're looking for answers. We are seeking an answer maker. Many people have a proposed answer maker, but my fear is that perhaps people are creating idols in their lives of someone that will take away their problems. We are seeking an answer maker. Some are searching for safety. They seek a protector. Many are looking for rest, peace, mentally, physically, and spiritually. We seek a burden carrier. Some days we feel like we can't carry this all around on our own. Someone who will give promises and will keep those promises. The world around us seems to be changing daily. Lewdness and profanity are abound. Godlessness and hedonism surround and infiltrate us from every side. You can spend just a little time watching TV or the news, movies, radio, and social media to see exactly what I mean. In these times, many feel hopeless, like all has been lost, and the fight for good is finished. What do we do? We may begin to say to ourselves things like, why would God allow this to happen? Or, I really miss the way things used to be. This isn't the country I grew up in. These aren't the times that I'm used to. I really think that somebody needs to do something about this. And all hope is gone. Times have changed and people have changed. Here we are. Well, my friends, I'm here to tell you today that all hope is certainly not lost. You are precisely in the time and place that God has put you. You are somebody. And you can make a difference. And we can take rest, assuredly, and wait on God's perfect plan to unfold. All hope is not lost, because we have a Savior. My prayerful desire today is to encourage you to draw near to that Savior and find hope. I want you to find the peace that passes understanding that comes from Jesus. A very popular writer named Suzanne Collins, in a novel that many may know as The Hunger Games, which in many ways, if you've read it, feels similar to our current times we're living in, says, "The only thing stronger than fear is hope." We have hope, and thank God we have hope. And I would like to share with you why. Some may ask, why should I be drawing near to the Savior, Jesus, for hope? The first point I want to bring up today is a point many of you sitting here or watching online may well know, but I hope there's someone watching today that doesn't know this. First off, God loves you. Humans have been very deep desire to experience and have loved, to be loved. Of all the types of love that we know, the one that is most profound is called agape love. Agape love is an unconditional love given without expectations or receiving anything in return. If you wouldn't mind and you have your Bibles in front of you, I would like you to turn to probably the most quoted and well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God demonstrates to us in John 3:16 the depth of his love. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, for whomsoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is a very deep form of love we see proven by the Savior. It is always a deep form of love that someone should die for someone. But what is it to die for a world that despises you? A world that hates you? A world that spits in your face and mocks you? That puts you on a cross and crucifies you? That is a type of love I'm not sure humans can totally understand. When Christ died on the cross, he defeated death. Believers no longer have to fear the sting of death because of the promise of heaven. Two, God not only loves you, but he wants to be near you. He's not some God floating off in space on his own that created the world and left us. He wants to be here with us. He proved that just as we covered by dying on the cross to be near you. He paid a very great sacrifice. Jesus never had to endure what he did. He died to form a bridge that had separated us from God, the chasm of sin. Christ desired to be near you. Scripture says it is such. In Revelation 3, verse 20, Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." If someone is standing at your door and knocking, they certainly want to be where you are. They want to be with you. They may have made a journey to your home. They made a sacrifice of their time to be with you. They are asking to come in. You are important to them. Jesus is knocking too. Scripture reveals this to us in Christ's desire to come into our lives and to our homes. His love for us is unconditional. Even at our worst, he is still knocking. Three, God knows you. Some may be asking today if they're hearing this, "So I've heard about Jesus, or I'm not really sure who he is. I think my grandma told me about him when I was a child. He died for me and wants to be near me, but I don't even know him. Who is he? Where has he been my whole life?" If he truly knows me, God knew you before you were even born. He has seen you each and every moment of your entire lives. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. Psalm 139, David is speaking a psalm here of God's perfect knowledge of man. In verse 13 it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and it was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. For your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none. Before we were even born, God saw our substance and our days before us. He has an interest in us. God was there in your earliest memories as a child. Some of us have very early memories. Perhaps running across the yard, playing with your brothers and sisters, or the embrace of a grandparent, an early Christmas. God was watching the entire time with a curious love for what He had created in you, each one of you. The fact that God can create billions of people over time and still be so interested in each one of us. Some people are interested in sports athletes. They know what they had for lunch, dinner, breakfast, what their last MLB hitting was, how many yards they scored. But how many people know the amount of hairs on your head at any given moment? That's a statistic. And God knows every one of us in that way. God was there on your happiest days, rejoicing, and He was there on your worst days, the hard times. I assure you, God knows you because He made you. 4, God is worthy of our lives. Today, as you sit here at home or with us in church, you are a culmination of your life's experiences and choices. Today, each of us are living our lives for something. Have you thought about it recently? What is it? Have you spent your time dedicating your life to work? Or perhaps it's sports. Is it money or fame? Perhaps it's the attention and approval of others. Is our life entirely dedicated to buying the next thing? Have you made yourself your own God to decide what is right and wrong, where your time should be spent, how you will best be pleased and live a life of your own counseling? Do you live for entertainment? Or perhaps you don't live for much of anything at all, and you're not quite sure why you're even here. Why are you even alive? I assure you, you have been dedicating your life to something, and when it all comes to an end, and you've had your last dance, will it have been worth it? As somber sounding as this is for many, the good news is that God is eternal, and His ways are perfect and good. Perfect and good. Good for you. Perfect for you. He made you. He knows you. He loves you. And trust me, He knows how to run your life best. His is a cause worth living for. He will captain our lives more completely and fully than we ever could and hope to do on our own. Jesus is worthy of our lives. He's worthy of our dedication. 5th point. So we should desire to draw near to God. How can we? These answers that you're about to hear will seem very simple, and thank the Lord they are. We've heard them probably since Sunday school. You probably get tired of hearing about them at times. You wish there was something more interesting, perhaps. But I'm thankful that they are simple. But they're also challenging. Most of us know this. George S. Patton once said, "Accept the challenges of life so that you can feel the exhilaration of victory." And there is victory in Jesus. You will spend your time dedicated to something. I encourage you to dedicate it to something that lasts. That's exciting. First, we should be praying. Sometimes I think praying, we make it out to be difficult. I'll be the first to say that sometimes it seems like talking to someone who doesn't directly respond back can be challenging. But if you can make phone calls or text, you can certainly pray. We need to be spending time seeking God's will. I think we should be asking God, what are you working on today, Lord? What is it you have going on in the world? What are you trying to change? Who are you trying to help? How can I be a part of that? How can I be dedicated to that? Ask God for help. We all need help. When we were made to be in a relationship with God, and as man stands today, if we're not saved, we're apart from God. We need God's help. He created us to be in co-living with Him. He is part of who we are. We can simply talk to God about your day. Just tell Him. I assure you, He is very interested. The second, we can be attending a service. We can be attending church. For many right now, this looks completely different than it's ever looked in our whole lives. But still make the effort to be in God's Word, to get together with fellow believers if you can, so that you may encourage and uplift each other. So you can learn and study God's Word and praise Him in songs for how wonderful He is. If you aren't able to attend, be sure to look for an option on TV or online. You can join us online weekly. If that's a difficulty for you or it's not available to you that Sunday, look for a sermon on the radio or online. Be sure to be diving into something to grow closer to God. Also, a note is, during this time, be sure to be thoughtful of those who are shut in or have difficulty connecting to a service. The loneliness that's being experienced in the world right now is very high. And I pray that God, you would use His instruments to connect those who are not able to attend. Number three, the way we can grow closer to the Savior is we can serve. Find a way to serve. It's not that difficult, but I think myself, I often procrastinate it. I say I'll do it tomorrow or I'll get to it next week. We can serve people all around us, perhaps a family member, a friend, a neighbor. Some ways we can be helpful and serve God. We can be an assistance to those who need it financially. Perhaps they need food or their help paying a bill. Now people are struggling with money more than they have in the past several years. It's important to be mindful of that if we're able. We have skills that each of us possess. Perhaps we can find someone that needs help with their housework. They're too busy juggling two jobs, or perhaps they're elder and can't simply get around the house and work like they used to. We could be having grocery runs or repairs on a home. Pastor Mark met with me last week and just told me the simple story of driving by a neighbor of his that had a piece of siding hang off his house. And as he had time, Pastor Mark stopped over and nailed it back up for the man. We can be helping those around us and serving them spiritually. We could create a Bible study with friends or family. We could be praying for those that are in need. We can be talking to others that are lonely, that have a desire to have conversations, that need to be social. And lastly, we can be witnessing to others and telling them of the hope we have. God has someone on your heart, maybe already today at this very moment, that you could be helping. Have you answered God's call? It pricks at your heart constantly. You've thought about it. Maybe we try to push it away. Maybe we don't intend to, but procrastination is a very powerful thing. I encourage you today, myself included, to answer that call, to grow closer to the Savior through serving. Serving gives us opportunity to grow closer to God, grow His kingdom, and His creation that is in need. Bible time. Dig into Scripture. Spend time daily. What helps me is finding a good commentary or reading plan to keep me on track. If I find that opening up the Bible sometimes, I think as many people have done, and just kind of open it up, put your finger down and read something, quickly fades out and withers. Be sure to find something that's helpful for you to stay on track and focused, to help explain what you're reading. If you're having difficulty finding this, be sure to find someone above you that's spiritually mature, such as maybe Pastor Mark or Rhonda, to help you with that. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to, or your Sunday school teacher. Lastly, this is something I think about a lot. We can draw near to the Savior when we take time to be thankful and enjoy His blessings. The smile of a child. The absolute flooring beauty of a sunset. The change of seasons, a conversation with a good friend, a fine meal, quiet time, after a long day's work and the kids are laid down. God is good and gives us so many wonderful things. Take time to enjoy them and be thankful. I assure you it will grow you close to the Father. It's good for you. When we see that drawing near to God gives believers hope, what do we do with this hope? Should we hold on to it tight and hide it? Should we stow it away in our homes or just bring it out on Sunday morning? Should we cover it in our church buildings? Should we just sort of roll over once we have the hope, call it quits, and wait for Christ's return? Heavens, no. I don't know about you, but seeing all that's going on in the world, I have children in this world. Some of you have grandchildren in this world. We have family and friends that we dearly love. And I pray that we do not let the enemy into our lives. Satan would have us separated from drawing near to God because he knows the hope and power that brings. He has been at this game for a very, very, very long time, and he's very good at deceiving men. And right now, I believe he is launching an all-out war for men's hearts, and he's working overtime. He is coming for you, for your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones and friends. He is fighting a war that he will lose, but it's in his nature that he will take as many as he can with him to his defeat. But Jesus, what a powerful name that is, stands firmly in the way. In Ephesians 6:10, it says this, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this coming age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It doesn't say to lay down, it doesn't say to hide, it says to stand. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, living righteous, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take on the shield of faith, and with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Be watchful of those around you. Guard them. Be sure in these times to guard your own hearts. Be careful of what we're watching. Be mindful of the music it is we let into our homes. Ask God to guard even your conversations and thoughts. Protect your eyes so that you may remain holy. Do not let evil win, because we have a hope in drawing close to God. We also have a great help that comes from God. We have the ability to literally change the world. God has never been concerned with the amount of believers that he has following him. He started the Christian movement around the world very, very small. We have the hope of nations. We have a way maker. We have the great I am. God has called us to be a light. He has called us to be a soldier of the cross. God has called us to be a light not hidden under a basket. The Bible says instead, put your light where all can see it and it will light up the whole house. And we know that even the smallest light will shine brightest when all around is dark. I want to encourage you today, but that since you have hope, this is also your call to action. Do not hide it away. Be the light, fight the good fight, and put on the whole armor of God, and keep in hope by staying near to your Savior. Because in the end, He is coming again. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. As many are challenged with what's going on, we look for hope as we come into the Thanksgiving season. And Lord, we have it in you. You are not called the Rock of Ages for anything, for nothing. Lord, we ask that the hope created today that will be created over the next few weeks as people seek to draw near to you would not be a small fleeting hope that comes in today and leaves tomorrow, but a hope that will last forever. You have given us that hope, Lord. Let us draw near to you. And when we do have that hope, Lord, and we have drawn near to you, let us make a difference in the world. If we're not happy with how the way things are going, there are things that are out of our control, God, that we feel we can't affect or change. There's sickness, there's worry, there's fear, there's unrest. But what are we doing to change that? God, thank you so much that you have given us an ability to make changes. When all around seems dark, Lord, remind us that you have put a light in us. Be the light, have hope, and stay close to the Savior. In Jesus' name.